sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, filling in for Steve Jones, here's Kevin Herr.
As the band said, I am Kevin Herr, filling in for the vacationing Steve Jones. Today, the Best of Steve Jones Show. Tomorrow, we're going to have another Best of Steve Jones Show where we talk all Penn State football with recent interviews, including Coach Bill O'Brien and Steve Jones sitting down while Coach O'Brien was actually on vacation. These guys are pretty tight. You know, when you can call a college football coach while he's on vacation, that means you have a really good relationship. And Steve and Bill definitely have a very good relationship, and we benefit from it here as fans of the Steve Jones Show and Penn State football as well. And we're getting into Penn State football mode, which is why we're doing that show on Friday with all Penn State stuff, because every Friday during the season we'll talk Penn State football. Every Thursday we'll talk high school football. See, this is why I love August. You know, Steve always laughs at me, but I love August for this reason. And there's even some baseball to talk about every now and then. Of course, recently it hasn't been good things about baseball to talk about, but you'll have that. Recently, Steve Jones caught up with David Taylor, the Penn State wrestling team. David doing some freestyle wrestling this summer and talked about it with Steve.
I guess when you say get to this point, I guess there's a lot of things that have kind of gone into it, but this summer is the first time I've really able to dedicate a lot of time into wrestling freestyle, which is the style that's wrestled in the Olympics. And just kind of turned my focus towards my next goal, which is winning an Olympic title. And this summer I knew was really important, so I spent a lot of time with my coaches and wrestled a lot of freestyle experience this summer. And I wanted to make a world team, fell a little short. But making the national team is, while still in college, is still a pretty good deal. And I'm actually, earlier this spring, I made a team. I'm going to be wrestling the University World Championships in Russia. I'll be leaving for that in about 5 days. So a little short of making the senior world team, but still have some things I'd still like to achieve this summer.
Nico Megalunas and Ed Ruth are part of that as well, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. The comfort of having them there and the comfort of having Kale Sanderson there, is there a comfort level just being surrounded by familiar faces?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's nice for us. You know, it's almost like a day in practice when we're going to go and compete in places. But I think it says a lot about what our coaches are doing and our athletes are doing the right things and making progression. And so it just says a lot about our program and Penn State as well.
And no question about that. Now, for the uninitiated, everyone gets a chance. They go to Rec Hall. They watch you wrestle collegiately in that style. What are the changes you have to make when you go freestyle for the uninitiated?
Well, the biggest thing is just the rules are differently. The way the matches are, the match layout. So, a typical college match is a 3-minute first period, 2-minute second period, 2-minute third period. There's top and bottom wrestling. And freestyle, the rules just changed this year, actually, again. It's 2 3-minute periods. There's a 30 second break in between each period. It's cumulative scoring. If you're up by 7 points, the match is over, essentially a tech fall. There's some of the rules itself, so it's still a 2-point takedown, but if you get pushed out of bounds, that's 1 point, and then any exposure is an automatic 2 points. So some of those scoring, the biggest thing in freestyle is in a college match, you get in a flurry, well, maybe only a takedown can be given up. In freestyle, you get in a flurry, the match can be over. 7 points can be scored pretty quickly, so you just have to be so much more aware in freestyle. Holding position is even more important than really anything else. Like I said, you know, you've up, you know, one bad flurry and you could be down 6-7 points. The match is over in 20 seconds. So just remaining focused at all times and just kind of adjusting some of the strategies are really important.
We're with David Taylor of the Penn State wrestling team, and you had 2 tech falls, in fact, along the way among your 4 wins. So you're able to take care of that. Which style do you prefer? Do you prefer collegiate style, or do you actually prefer freestyle?
It's funny you kind of ask that. So growing up, when I first began wrestling, when I was 5 years old, freestyle was really what I started doing. And I didn't really focus collegiately until I kind of got a little bit older. And then as of recent, since I've gotten in college, I haven't really wrestled much freestyle since I focused a lot on in collegiate, but this summer, spending a lot of time in freestyle, I've really began to enjoy it a lot more. And you know, it's just kind of something that maybe it just, you know, takes some time for the adjustment. Some people's styles transition really well. Some people don't. I think my style transitions really well into freestyle. And it's just it's a transition I have to make if I want to fulfill my goal of being an Olympic champ. So it's this summer has been great getting some experience. I've really become to really enjoy freestyle, and I think I can have a good future in that style if I keep making the changes that I need to make.
No question. Of course, we know for sure freestyle wrestling is in the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, and now it looks like it has a great shot at still being there in 2020 as well. Which has to be a sigh of relief. It's not official yet, but it has to be a sigh of relief for those in the wrestling community and for you who have deep dreams about representing the United States in the Olympics. What did it mean when wrestling cleared that hurdle to keep the door wide open for 2020?
It's huge. I mean, this whole, since that news, I remember waking up and in the news where that Olympic wrestling was dropped, I thought it wasn't real. I thought it was a joke or something. And the reality is it was real. But it just says a lot about the wrestling community and how strong it is and how much we've had an influence on trying to, keep Olympic wrestling, save Olympic wrestling. It's been a big trend this year. And, getting to that first hurdle was obviously really important, getting it narrowed down to three sports. And I think that we have a really good chance, but, I wouldn't say it's a door wide open. It's still up to a committee decision, and it can be swayed either way. It's hard to tell, but we've got to remain hopeful and hope that people want to continue keeping wrestling in the Olympics. I think the rule changes they've made this year have made wrestling much more enjoyable for the fan. It's quick paced. I think it should be fan friendly. It's really competitive, and the thing is, in the countries overseas, wrestling is the equivalent of the NFL football, mm-hmm. football league, or the NBA. It's wrestling is their main sport. You're a country hero icon if you're wrestling freestyle overseas. So I think that's one thing that's really important is there's a lot of really strong influence over there that really help, I think, keep the sport in the Olympics. And we just got to hope that it stays, and we got to keep the initiative going strong.
71 different countries, by the way, were represented at the 2012 London Games in the sport of wrestling. I think that's a statement unto itself right there and backs up exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you get a chance? Go ahead, David. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, please. I want to hear what you had to say.
Oh, I was just saying, it is, the more I've been around freestyle this summer and been exposed to wrestling the dual meet in New York, and we wrestled against the Russian team, the Iranian team, and, those. It's just crazy, how big wrestling is for those countries. It's huge here, but don't get me wrong. But over it is. It's they're if you're a wrestler overseas, you're a superstar, and that's great for the sport. And I know they want to keep wrestling just as much as we do. So wrestling is still a sport in the Olympics, and I just hope that thought stays with everyone that's trying to keep the sport.
In fact, in Russia, for example, only ice hockey has a greater passion than wrestling. In Iran, wrestling is the passion, even more so than soccer, and a lot of people don't realize that. For you, when you train freestyle, do you do some with Ed Ruth, or is there somebody specific that really helps train you to get you ready for this?
Well, the main guy I wrestle with the most is our assistant coach, T.C. Cunningham.
Right.
I wrestle, regardless of whatever practice it is, I wrestle with him more than anybody. He really is helping prepare me. The biggest thing is, the transition from, I wrestled the Olympic trials last year and didn't have the performance I wanted. I just didn't have quite the focus. I wasn't really aware of the changes I need to make in my wrestling to be successful in freestyle. And this year, throughout the college season, I was focused on some little things. And once the Nationals concluded this year, and I was right back in the room almost immediately focused on what I thought I needed to do, I've made leaps and bounds working with Coach Cunningham and Coach Sanderson, and I still have many more changes I can still make, which I'm really looking forward to. And those coaches help me more than anyone. I can sit down and analyze, what little things I need. And that's reality. Is it's just inches that separate, from being third on the national team to be the representative of the United States. And it's not really a whole lot of things, but it's a couple adjustments that I can make and I still need to make that are going to separate me. And that's just, I just really, I can't, thank my coaches enough for being there for me every day to help make those changes. And so that's when you say who I wrestle with Coach the most. And then also just going with Ed and some of our other guys that are better in the room every day helping us get better. And you can't really ask for anything more than that.
We're with David Taylor of the Penn State wrestling team and also part of the United States team. David, a football player, they'll talk about the winter program that physically changes them so they can get ready for a season. A basketball player literally makes their game in the summer. We see the fruits of it in the winter, but they make their game in the summer. As a wrestler, are there some things in freestyle that can translate to collegiate wrestling that actually will benefit you in the collegiate season?
Well, absolutely. I would say being able to score no matter what style you're in is important. So you're always constantly working on finding more ways to be creative and how to set guys up and take them down. When you're talking about wrestling the best guys in the country, the best guys in the world, you know, obviously if you're being able to score on those guys and defend, you're doing the right things. But in freestyle, one of the things that's so much more important than I believe really than in college is just, you know, positioning on the mat. Matt, like in college, you can afford to get in a flurry and go out of bounds. In freestyle, you go out of bounds, you're giving up a point. So you just the mat positioning and holding position is the focus on that in freestyle is going to make your college wrestling that much better. Just controlling the center of the mat, pressuring the guy to the edge. So just those little things that you don't really focus on as much in wrestling, you know, during the college season that you have to be so much more aware of in freestyle is going to make, I believe, is going to make me a better wrestler all around. So, but when it comes to, you said, you know, basketball, you know, their summer is so important. I did the same thing with wrestling. I've made my biggest gains as a wrestler right in the summers because that's been, you know, this summer's a little different because I've been competing so frequently. But in a normal summer, you don't really compete that often, and that's when you can go in the room and there's no pressure, there's no making weight, there's nothing. You just go in the room and wrestle, and that's when you figure things out. Because there's just the environment's just much more relaxed, and you just have, you know, you just kind of go with someone, and you just figure what out you need to get better at, and you work in those positions, and you know those summer adjustments make you better wrestler during the college season. Because it's like any sport, you know, when you're competing, it's hard to make adjustments sometimes when you're competing every few days, but so the summer is just as important as any other sport. That's the time for wrestling when you really can focus on what you're doing. Trying to become a better wrestler.
Something I want to follow up on in what you just said. You mentioned that in the summertime, you can just wrestle and relax. You're not making weight. So I want to ask you about the relaxation part of this. And that is, you are somebody who's focused, dialed in academics. You're focused, dialed in on wrestling. Now you're focused, dialed in on freestyle. What do you do to relax yourself and step away from the sport that's a nice release for you?
It's sometimes it's hard to take a complete step back from the sport. Just when you've done something, you're doing it so frequently and so often, it's always in the back of your mind. But for me, when I'm not at practice or I'm not doing something, I like to just relax. I often find TV series that I like to catch up on. Watch movies, play video games, just like anyone else. And those are things for me where I can kind of just relax for a little bit of time before it's, you know, back to the time when you have to be focused and dialed in, like you mentioned. So for me, just relaxing, finding things that kind of just free my mind and kind of take a step back for a minute. But there's not too many times when you're completely away from the sport. And I would say that's probably pretty much the same for any athlete. It's hard to take 100% step back. Well, there's times when you can take little breaks and kind of free your mind, and I think that helps you grow as an athlete when you can take those little steps, because then you can kind of reflect on your performances and what way you can get better. At least that's for me. That's when I feel like I take my biggest gains. So I take that little step back and I realize what I need to get better at. I'm more motivated when I get back in the room to improve in those areas.
No, and that's really the same, I think, with anybody that works on a job or a profession they're trying to excel at it. That happens in what we do here, for example. I've been working on football, basketball, getting ready for the upcoming season, And this is, quote, the off season. Well, mentally, this is what I need to do to get ready. But there are moments you do need to step away. And for me, that's hitting a golf ball badly into the woods. But and then trying to search for it. But I think it's important people had a chance to hear what you do away from it, because you are so dialed in and the sport means so much to you. I think people find it refreshing that you can at least find those moments, and those moments are important for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you go too long without taking a break and stepping back, you know, you almost regress at that point. So it's really important to take a step back and just, there's certain times and you, like for me, I'm a guy, I like having a schedule, I like having a plan, I like to know coaches and, you know, saying this is what we're doing for this amount of time, and I'm always in their office talking to them and communicating with them about, you know everything, you know, how I'm training, how I feel, especially in, I feel like the summers have been really important, because usually the most time, like you talk about taking a little bit of time off after the national tournament, you kind of take a step back for a little bit. I was right back competing at the U.S. Nationals for freestyle a month after. So I didn't really take that step back. So it's been really important, you know, in between these competitions to take a few days here or there to make sure I am getting that rest so I can be at my prime when I've been competing. And the summer's been really good. And now after I get back from Russia, Universal World Championships with Ed Nico, that'll be the time where I'll take that step back again for a little bit of longer time, refresh my body and my mind, and then be ready to get back into this, my final collegiate season at Penn State. And hopefully we have a great year that we've had the last few years.
And one final question for David Taylor, and that actually is exactly where I was going to go. After you go through and win another team title and you win that coveted second individual title, will you then throw yourself in your plan into nothing but freestyle from that point on?
That's the plan at this point. Like I said, right now, you know, the short-term goal is University World Championships. Intermediate goal is my final season. And then really after that, it's time to focus 100% on freestyle. And I think I can make a lot of gains when I do that. You know, when you start wrestling freestyle full-time, you compete much less frequent. You know, it's once every month or 2 months. So you get time to, you know, really, you know, peak yourself, train, you know, train differently. Everything changes when your complete focus is, on one goal, which is 4 years away, and, you know, I guess 2 years away once I graduate the Olympics. So it definitely changes, and I'll be going full-time, or, you know, every thought will be going into, you know, competing freestyle. So for me, right now, it's kind of hard to completely focus on freestyle when I have that, you know, really important goal of winning a second national title and helping my team win a fourth straight team title. And then it'll be time to focus in a different direction, and that's solely on freestyle through 2016.
Well, there have been a lot of great achievers on this campus over the years. You're absolutely in that category of being one of them. We congratulate you on what you've accomplished, and we look forward to talking to you again. Good luck this summer in Russia.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Penn State wrestler David Taylor from early part of summer when he was getting ready to do some freestyle wrestling with Steve Jones. This is the Best of the Steve Jones Show. And coming up after the news, Bill O'Brien from the Big Ten Media Day News Conference. Some interesting questions and interesting answers. We'll have that coming up for you in a few moments. And tomorrow it is all Penn State football as we have the Best of the Steve Jones Show with interviews from the correspondents nationally, locally, and a conversation with Bill O'Brien himself. More B.O.B. coming up after the news on The Steve Jones Show on WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors studio, filling in for Steve Jones, here's Kevin Herr.
This is the best of the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr, as the man said, filling in for Steve Jones, who's on vacation again today and tomorrow. And tomorrow we'll have a Best of Steve Jones Show Penn State football edition with some ESPN.com reporters, some reporters that follow Penn State locally, and Steve's conversation with Coach Bill O'Brien when Bill was on vacation. As a matter of fact, Bill O'Brien is who we're going to hear from right now. Bill O'Brien from the Big Ten Media Day news conference recently. We'll have the full news conference for you, including some interesting questions and some interesting answers from Coach Bill O'Brien. And by the way, free agency has now officially ended in college football at Penn State.
All right, let's go out to Chicago now, and Bill O'Brien meeting with the media at the Big Ten Media Day in Chicago.
It's always a sign that, you know, obviously the season is right around the corner, and brought three players with us here for these 2 days. John Urschel is an offensive lineman for us, Malcolm Willis, safety for us, and Glenn Carson is a middle linebacker for us, so it's great to be with them. It's good to see the other coaches in the league. You know, I have a lot of respect for all the coaches in this league. We have some really good coaches, and it's great to meet with them. We had a good meeting with Jim Delaney, Commissioner Delaney, this morning, and it's always good to reconnect with the coaches here. Really excited about the season. You know, we have a group of kids that have worked extremely hard in the offseason to try to improve their individual skill set. And now we have to go out and have a productive training camp. But it's a great group of guys to work with. Our staff is really excited about it. And I believe our first practice will be August 5th. So it's right around the bend and can't wait. So I guess I'll open it up to questions.
Reminder to raise your hands high and keep them up there so that our mic holders can see you. We'll start here with Teddy on stage left on the aisle, and then we'll go back in the back on the stage right.
Hey, Coach, what about the prospects of starting a true freshman at quarterback in Hackenberg? Would that be, I think, really unusual for a major program like Penn State?
No, I don't think it's unusual. We have two quarterbacks at Penn State this year that will compete for the starting job, Tyler Ferguson and Christian Hackenberg. Obviously, we haven't had a chance to work with Christian yet, so we're not allowed to work with the guys in the summertime, and he just arrived here for our summer bridge program. And then Tyler, we worked with in the spring, and he improved every day. So we'll go in there, and one thing that's really exciting about working with young quarterbacks is you get a chance to really mold that quarterback. You get a chance to really teach that quarterback, and Charlie Fisher and I will do that. We'll work hard at teaching our quarterbacks how to play in our offense and manage the game and play smart, tough Penn State football. And so we're excited about that, and we'll have to make a decision at some point during training camp to allow the starter to get enough reps to be ready for the Syracuse game. But it sure is exciting for us, and it's a challenge for us, and we're looking forward to it.
Back on the aisle, stage right.
Hey, Coach, now that you've had the job for over a year, do you feel that the challenges that have arisen because of the sanctions imposed, are those challenges what you expected?
I don't think when you go into a job like this, you always have to expect the unexpected, regardless of what has happened in the last year. Really, I'm here to talk about the 2013 team. You know, a lot of the things that we talked about last year when I was here, it's water under the bridge. We're in a situation at Penn State right now that is unprecedented, sure. But at the same time, I've said this over and over again, our staff, myself, we're thankful for our players. Our players are tough, they're resilient, they're good kids, they're hardworking, they go to class, and we're looking forward to working with those guys. The rules are what they are, and that's what we play under, and that's what we're going to do. So we're excited about the season, and again, just really want to concentrate on the 2013 season.
Our next question here, stage left in the middle, if you could raise your hand again, sir.
Bill, Rich Scarsella from the Reading Eagle.
Hey, Rich.
Bill, ideally, when would you like to decide on who the starting quarterback will be?
Yeah, I think you have to make a decision about halfway through training camp, Rich. I really do. I think that in order to give that guy, whoever that guy will be, Tyler or Christian, in order to give him enough time to prepare for an excellent Syracuse team that throws a lot at you defensively, you have to give him a couple weeks to get ready for the first game at the very least, especially a young quarterback. So we'll probably about halfway through, we'll have enough evaluation of our practice film and all the different things that go into being the starting quarterback at Penn State, not only on the practice field but in the meeting room, and we'll make a good decision. We'll do what's best for the football team. But again, it's an exciting time for us. It's not a time that we look at as, you know, woe is me. You know, it's more of a time exactly the opposite of that. We look at the fact that we have a chance to work with two really talented young quarterbacks. And so it's an exciting time for us at Penn State and one that we're looking forward to when training camp starts.
Our next question is down in front stage right, then we'll go back over here.
Hi, Bill. Travis Johnson with the Center Daily Times. How do you see the loss of Brad Barrs affecting your defense, and has he or will he apply for a medical redshirt?
First of all, we one thing that we've instilled in our players, I believe, over the last 19, 20 months that I've been on the job is the phrase next man up. So we knew when Brad went down that there were guys in that defensive line room that now had to step up because they potentially move up the depth chart. So we've definitely learned that phrase at Penn State, and so there's some guys there that need to step up. Now, as far as Brad Barrs is concerned, I was really, you know, I felt bad for him because here's a guy that probably hasn't been talked about enough. He's a fantastic student. He's a tough football player. He was not only a defensive end, a candidate for a starting job for us at that position, but he was also a really good core special teams player. So next man up on special teams too. And more than likely, I don't want to speak for Brad, but I believe that he will come back for a fifth year and rehab the Achilles, and he'll be back next year. So again, I would want a guy like that back because I believe he's a core type of guy. He's a Penn State guy. He's again, just like John Urschel and a lot of the other guys on our football team, he's what student athlete really means.
Our next question here is on stage left, in the middle.
Bill, in a related question regarding depth, how concerned are you with depth both along the defensive line and at linebacker?
Well, again, we're going to have to go into training camp and see how much some of our younger players have improved at those positions. You know, remember, if you look at linebacker in the spring, we didn't have Ben Klein in the spring. You know, he was out with a shoulder operation. He'll be back for training camp. So we're looking forward to seeing him. He's had he stopped by the office the other day. He's had an excellent summer and looks in great shape, and he's ready to go. So we get him back. Gary Wooten, another guy that we felt was improving during the spring. Can he add depth there? You know, again, we've got to look at all the different players we have on defense as it relates to the linebacker position. What can a guy like Adrian Amos do? Can he play safety? Can he play corner? Can he play linebacker? Steven Obang, can that guy come down and play some linebacker for us? So, you know, I think our staff, I know our staff, has led by John Butler, has done a really good job of really looking at that and being prepared for all the different scenarios. Defensive line-wise, certainly Brad Barrs not being there, you know, again, gives us a little bit of a problem there depth-wise. But again, guy like Evan Schwan, does he step up now? A younger player that maybe hasn't, you know, obviously redshirted last year. We don't know a lot about him as a player right now. He's a great kid. He's had a really good hard work in summer. Is that a candidate to step up and take a Brad Barrs type of spot there? So, again, you know, are we concerned? I don't think we use the word concerned too much, Joe, in our program. We just look for different ways to be able to relate to the different scenarios that may occur.
We have three questions in queue. We'll start down here, front stage right, then back to the left, and then we have one in the back of the room.
Bill, when you take the field against Syracuse, Scott Schaefer is going to be coaching his first game. What challenges do you remember from your first game last year, and in what ways can that give you a competitive advantage going up against the first-time head coach?
I don't know. I think too much is said about that. I think that Scott Schaefer is an excellent coach. Watching them last year, how they played on defense, I think they're going to have a very good defensive football team back. And then again, watching them on offense, they're going to have a really good offensive football team back. You know, first-year head coaches, first games, all those different things. Everybody's different as to how they handle it. Obviously, if you look at my own situation last year, I certainly could have done a much better job on opening day than I did last year. So, you know, again, Coach Schaefer's a great coach, and he's going to do a fantastic job at Syracuse.
Next question will be over here, stage left, toward the aisle. Coach, a year ago you came in without experience, and there were all the sanctions, talk of all that kind of stuff. Just how different is the feeling today compared to a year ago at this time for you?
Well, it's certainly different. I mean, you know, last year I think we arrived here the day after, you know, obviously the penalties would be announced, so I think we're in a better mood this year. But, you know, obviously you're a lot more comfortable with your position as a head football coach after having, you know, it's only been a year, but you're more comfortable with the players, with the staff, knowing each other, the chemistry, all those different things that go into it. Again, does that lead to victories? Who knows? We're going to have to go out there and play extremely hard. We have a very, very difficult schedule, non-league schedule to start the season, and then obviously a very, very difficult Big Ten schedule. But we really enjoy coaching our players. We have a lot of good players, tough players, hardworking guys, and we're just really excited about the season.
Next question is all the way in the back, stage right, Coach.
Hey, Bill, you said Tyler Ferguson will obviously compete for the starting job. He's not on campus right now, obviously. So what kind of setback is that, you know, him not being a part of the summer workouts? And has he told you yet when he expects to be back on campus?
Yeah, he'll be back. I mean, summer's voluntary, right? The last time I read the NCAA rule book, I think summer's voluntary. So he's not there. He's at home. He's got some personal things that he's dealing with at home. To me, you know, again, he'll come in, he'll be here for training camp. What time, what day, all those things. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he'll be in the first team meeting, and he'll be ready to compete with Christian for that job.
I have time for a couple more questions. Have one down in front here in the middle.
Yeah, Coach, you know, have you seen anything different out of Glenn Carson, you know, in this past offseason, considering, you know, he's the senior leader of those linebackers now that Maldi and Hodges have gone their ways?
Well, Glenn is certainly a guy that you would describe as a high-character guy, very intense, heart and soul type of guy. Glenn's not a real rah-rah guy. Glenn is very serious about his position as the middle linebacker at Penn State. He understands the tradition of linebackers at Penn State. And you know, obviously linebacker you. So he understands that. He was a leader last year. He's a leader right now. And we're looking forward to him having a really good year for us. He again is another guy that you would say as it relates to Penn State. He's what being a Penn State football player is all about. He's a good student. He's a tough kid. New Jersey high school state champion wrestler. So he means a lot to our football team, and we're certainly glad he's on our team.
Still time for questions? Be sure to raise your hands high so we can see them. We'll get a mic over to you as soon as we can. We've got one over here front, stage right.
Bill, do you anticipate Kyle Carter and Zach Swinak being able to do everything in training camp this year?
As far as health?
Yes,
I do. I anticipate both guys will be back for training camp. Kyle Carter obviously injured his wrist against Nebraska, so he's had a little bit more time to heal. Zach did his in the blue-white game, so he hasn't had as much time. So you'd probably say Kyle might be a little bit ahead of Zach in that department, but both guys will be ready during training camp. Kyle right at the beginning, and Zach will participate, but he may not be full contact right away.
That is Bill O'Brien in Chicago.
I have heard and read a lot of reports that kind of have Christian Hackenberg getting the starting job. That didn't sound that way from Bill O'Brien there in that news conference.
Where is everybody coming up with this?
That's what I want to know.
He hasn't thrown a football yet.
I agree. I've read throw it and
heard ball it. First. Win the job. You can't win the job in 7-on-7s in voluntary practice in the summer. You can't do it. It's impossible.
I've read it and heard it in several different places, and I've never heard Coach O'Brien say that on this program or anywhere else either.
Okay. Remember when I had him on the show? Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Was it two, three weeks ago?
Yes.
One of the two. Maybe it was 3 weeks
ago. Beginning of July.
Okay. And I said to him, I said, let's talk about Tyler Ferguson. I said, I know everybody wants to talk about Christian Hackenberg. I said, I prefer to have somebody have a body of work first. And he laughed. And you heard under his breath, he says, absolutely. You have to have a body of work, right? That body of work can be in training camp. If he is the better quarterback in training camp, he will then win the job. Bill O'Brien is not going to make this decision based on class. He's going to make this decision based on performance. And it's not just going to be how you throw the ball. It's going to be the full package. How are you pre-snap? Okay, do you get them into the right protection at the line of scrimmage? If you need to check out of a play, do you check to the right one? Then post-snap, how well do you see the field? Do you make the right read? How do you handle pressure in the pocket? There are a lot of things, right? Christian Hackenberg could end up being the greatest quarterback that's ever walked on this campus. I don't know. I've never seen him throw a ball. And people who are writing that it's his job don't know Bill O'Brien, and they don't know. Now, it could be his job. A month from now, we could be having a conversation about, hey, look, they're starting a freshman against Syracuse. Let's see how he does. But everybody, slow down. Let it breathe. Let it play out. Let's see what it's going to be like. The decision won't be made until maybe 10, 11 days before the Syracuse game.
Even the question he got there implied that Hackenberg was the starter already.
You mean the question?
Yeah.
The questioner.
Yeah, the question itself that he got today even implied that Hackenberg was the starter. I just wondered where everybody heard this because I hadn't.
Well, Bill hasn't either because Bill hasn't made his decision.
And I would think he would be the one that would know before any of us.
Do you realize how many snaps Bill O'Brien and Charlie Fisher have worked with Christian Hackenberg so far this summer? Do you
Zero.
Realize how many? That's exactly right. Not a one.
And he said that a few moments into the question, you know, that we can't work out with him in the summer. He just got to campus. We can't do anything yet.
Exactly. You can't do anything with them. Okay? It's an adorable topic to discuss. But you know, and see, I'm sorry. You know how I, after being with me for like 20 months on the show, how I deal with things.
Yes.
Okay. I think when I think something's stupid, I tell you it's stupid. Okay. The topic of him starting on July 24th is stupid. There is no starting quarterback at Penn State right now. None. They're going to compete for it. Now, 4 weeks from now, we'll have a lot to talk about. I will have seen him throw the ball in practice. I will have watched him scrimmage. I will have watched him the whole thing. If Tyler Ferguson is better, I'll tell you Tyler Ferguson's better. If Christian Hackenberg is better, I will tell you Christian Hackenberg is better. And why? But until then, we eat up the airwaves with dumb topics. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about other talk show hosts.
No, I understand.
Are wasting the listeners' time talking about things they don't know about.
Well, and here's what I worry. There is so much
waste of time.
There's so much expectation, though, Steve. I mean, this poor young man's going to have a world on his shoulders when he steps into a uniform because of this.
What? The play-by-play announcer at Penn State is smart enough to not have any expectations. Seriously. I've seen this how many times in my lifetime?
Well, how many seasons have you done this?
I mean, how many seasons have I mean, I can go through and I can give you a list of names of this guy is going to be great. Well, you can't wait to. Then you watch him and you're like, okay. All right. I'm not going to use names. Or people make assumptions. Pat Devlin's arm is stronger than Darrell Clark's. No, it's not. When they were at Penn State together, Clark had the stronger, more accurate arm. I mean, I knew a week into watching them practice who was going to win the job. A week. I told Darrell that once. He said, when did you know I had the job? I said, a weekend. He says, that fast? I said, you can say it. And I'm not, and that is not putting down a great talent like Pat Devlin, okay? But at that stage of their respective developments, Darrell Clark was a better thrower and a stronger arm than Pat Devlin.
That'll do it for today's Steve Jones Show. Tomorrow, all Penn State football, including a conversation with Coach Bill O'Brien. See you tomorrow on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Don't forget to visit us online at stevejonesshow.com, and you can click on the podcast.